Srila Prabhupada Ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta Ki, Gurantaraj Srimad Bhagavatama Ki, Giridas Maharaj Ki, Lord Premanande. Okay, so what did we discuss in last night's class?
The three kinds of friendship: Bandhu, Mitra, and Sudhrat.
And he enjoys
the welfare of all his devotees in his heart all the time. Good. Anything else? And the Surbhi was in so much ecstasy after seeing Lord Krishna's cowherd boy, that she thought that she is in this little world.
Good.
We have to undertake service without pride, and we can become prideless by engaging in menial service and serving menial devotees.
Good. Anything else?
If someone is serving Krishna, then Krishna will make sure that he serves properly. If there is some pride there, then Krishna will be happy.
Good.
Although Krishna is self-satisfied, but he still prays for devotee association.
Good point.
We want to love Krishna, we want to serve him, but we should be free of apraj, offenses.
Good point.
Indra sent back to his position, which is teaching us to be steady in the position of service for people.
Okay, nice. Anything else?
We are from that state, we offend devotees, and the remedy what is in us. One must have to serve a grihastha, and who is a simple living and humble grihastha. That's the remedy to get it up for him.
Good. Anything else?
We should all eventually have to develop Raga Yoga Bhakti if you want to go to the spiritual world.
Good. Same point. Anything else?
We have to follow the footsteps of the Vrajvasis to get Raga Yoga Bhakti. And to attain Raga Yoga Bhakti, we need to do very
Good.
We talked about the different types and levels of anger.
Anything else?
Krishna is pleased when we offer natural offerings other than dear.
All the important points. Very good. So tonight we'll begin chapter 28. What is chapter 28 called?
Krishna rescues
Nanda
Maharaj from the
abode of Varuna. Okay, so another nice chapter in the Bhagavatam. Okay. Sri Badarayani said, having worshipped Lord Janardana and fasted on the Ekadashi day, Nanda Maharaj entered the water of the Kalindi on the Dwadashi to take his bath. Because Nanda Maharaj entered the water in the dark of night, disregarding that the time was inauspicious, a demoniac servant of Varuna seized him and brought him to his master. Sri Chaitanya, want to read that?
Nanda Maharaj was intent on breaking his fast during the Dwadasi day, of which there remained only a few minutes. Thus he entered the water to bathe at an inauspicious time, before the first dawn light. The servant of Varuna who arrested Nanda Maharaj is stated here to be an asura or demon for obvious reasons. First, the servant was foolishly ignorant of Nanda Maharaj's position as the pastime father of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Also, Nanda Maharaj's intention was to carry out the injunction of scripture. Therefore, Varuna's servant should not have arrested Nanda on the technical grounds, that he bathe in the Yamuna at an inauspicious time. Later in this chapter, Varuna himself will say, Abnada Mamkena Muhena. This was done by my ignorant servant, who is a fool. This foolish servant did not understand the position of Krishna or Nanda Maharaj or devotional service to the Lord. In conclusion, it is clear that Lord Krishna wanted to give his personal audience to Varuna and simultaneously accomplish other didactic purposes. Thus, this wonderful pastime will now unfold.
Any points there?
Krishna's pastime, whatever happens there, it happens for purpose. It's like he wanted to give audience to Varuna.
We will learn later on that Nanda Maharaj was correct in the right time, because that day Vashi was only 18 hours, so he did the right thing. And it was a mistake of that foolish servant. But I think, as you said, Krishna wanted to show Varuna. So that was the passage.
Good. Anything else?
Has the demigod got the demonic servant?
Yeah, sometimes servants aren't very good. Yeah, but then Indra did something very bad as well, so, and he's an elevated person.
If a person's intention is to do the right thing and serve Krishna, even if they get it a bit wrong, we shouldn't be too hard on them if their intention is good.
Yeah. You have to chastise someone according to the level of, to the right level. It means that we have to become expert daksha. Because when you chastise someone, it has to be to the right level so they don't become despondent, but they can improve also. So.
Was the Govardhan Puja done on Ekadashi Day?
No.
So when was this worship of Lord Janardhan?
Sometime afterwards.
Okay. Not the same time.
No. No.
I feel like it's highlighting the mistake of following rules and regulations in the absence of recognizing Krishna's position.
Yeah, that's good. Good point. Anything else?
Varuna's servant did wrong, and then Varuna has to suffer. So that means if we do something wrong, the spiritual master has to.
Yeah. Generally, that that's true. Anything else?
Guru Maharaj always says, "Don't make me come back here. If you go anything wrong, I will suffer."
So, what does this pastime represent? Which anatta? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, interesting anatta which he gives, says this pastime represents the misconception that the bliss of devotional service can be enhanced by indulging in wine and other intoxicants. So, it's not so common these days, I don't think. But in the past, back to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, there was like some break-off groups. They called Apra Sampradaya. It means 13 deviant groups were there. So these deviant groups, they bring bogus philosophy into the pure philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So one philosophy, and it was there in Lord Chaitanya's time also, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on the planet, it mentions in Chaitanya Bhagavat that some people think you can drink wine or smoke marijuana or, you know, LSD, even happened in ISKCON, LSD, different things. You can take intoxicants and that will enhance your bliss or your Krishna conscious experience. So obviously that's wrong. That's a defective philosophy to think like that. So it's an anatta. and stops us going back to Vrindavan. Because if you go to Vrindavan and you're doing parikram around Vrindavan, you'll see some of the bhavas are smoking ganja, they smoke marijuana, and people, pujaris in the temples, they drink alcohol in Vrindavan, in some of the major temples. The pujaris, people look after the deities, but they drink alcohol at night. And so then maybe they're thinking, it's a nanata, they think in their minds, we can do these things and this will enhance our Krishna consciousness. But clearly it does not. Prabhupada was so strict when he came to the West, he started ISKCON, there must be four regulative principles. And Srila Prabhupada was very emphatic that if you want to transcend the material energy, you must follow strictly these regulative principles. No? You cannot have illicit sex, you cannot have intoxication, you cannot gamble, you cannot eat meat. If you want to go back to Krishna, you have to give up these things. These are impediments, anattas. So if you don't give up these things, you cannot transcend the material energy, as long as the attachment is still there for these things. So, in terms of our preaching in ISKCON, we have to gradually encourage people to give these things up. It takes some time. Just like when Prabhupada started the movement, 1966, and Jamuna Devi, so she's singing every day the Govindam prayers that we listen to. So she joined ISKCON in 1966. So Srila Prabhupada, he was cooking a feast for the wedding of her sister Janaki, who was, I think, marrying Mukunda Maharaj, who's now Mukunda Maharaj. So she came to help Prabhupada prepare the cooking, and she was smoking cigarettes. So halfway through helping Prabhupada, she was helping Prabhupada in the kitchen, and said, "Prabhupada, oh, Swamiji, I need to have a cigarette, I smoke." And then Prabhupada, you know, he did not. He said, "Okay, then if you have to go, then go and do it." So she went, she smoked, and then she came in. Prabhupada said, "You must wash your hands." But he didn't stop her from serving. She still helped Prabhupada prepare the feast. So Prabhupada was lenient in the way he preached to people. He encouraged people, and in the beginning, especially in the Hare Krishna movement, he added Krishna consciousness. Rather than emphasize what people should give up, he said, no, you take to the chanting, and you take prasad, and you come to the lectures. And he emphasized the positive things, because when people do the positive things, param drishtva nivartate, means you'll give up the lower things automatically. But if you don't have a taste for Krishna consciousness, you'll struggle giving up the lower things. You see devotees over the years, and even now, you see devotees, they struggle to give up those things. But if you get the higher taste of Krishna consciousness, you easily give up those things. It's not a difficulty. So, in terms of illicit sex, which is the hardest of the four to give up, giving up eating meat, that's easy. Intoxication, it's easy. Maybe a few devotees struggle. Most people, easy. Gambling is easy. But then illicit sex is difficult. Hard for devotees to give up this. So in the congregation ministry, and I don't think enough devotees know this or are conscious of this, but in the congregation ministry, which is Jayapataka Goswami is the head of, and, it is said that people can come and do ISKCON at different levels. You can chant one round a day, follow three regulative principles, and four rounds a day, eight rounds a day. And even up to the point, I think, 16 rounds. There's still some like level where they say, you know, 16 rounds and three regulative principles. In other words, you know, sex inside of marriage. But then it gets to a point where if you want to take shelter of the guru, then it has to be four regulative principles and 16 rounds. So we encourage people to gradually take up the process. Sometimes devotees are too heavy on people from the very beginning. People just come along and you tell everyone, 16 rounds, four regulative principles. People think, oh my God. No, just like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's guru, he sent the devotees to the West before Prabhupada came to the West in the 60s, back in the 30s, like that. He sent people to the West to preach, some of his disciples, sannyasis. And they went there and they were preaching to one, he was a lord, English lord, like a high class person apparently in England. And he said, what do I have to do to become a brahmana? And he said, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. He said, that's impossible. So they had no success in preaching. It was very difficult for people to do these things. But for us to be successful in preaching, we have to emphasize the positive things. You give people prasadam. You give people the holy name, Prabhupada's books, and then gradually they'll become purified, and then you encourage them. Okay, now you have to do this, 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 and this. But you cannot, if we want to spread the movement, we can't just preach or emphasize the negative things too heavily, too quickly. Otherwise, we lose people. So, this pastime represents the sonata. I can drink and I can chant. Good luck. You drink and you chant. Or I smoke ganja and I chant. Huh? Some people, they preach like that. You smoke, oh, take LSD and chant, and then you get more realizations. But obviously that's not true. Our acharyas are very strict on this point. And our acharyas never deviated from this point. Lord Chaitanya himself was very strict. Prabhupada was very strict. There was no deviation. So you have to follow these things strictly. Now, in these first two verses, there is an emphasis on being too much attached to the rules and regulations. Why did the servant of Varuna take Nanda Maharaj? He went to take bath in the river. He took bath when it was dark. The sun comes up at 6 o'clock. Now you go to India, you go to Vrindavan, the sun comes up at 6 o'clock. So maybe earlier, 5 o'clock or something, he's taking bath in Jamuna. Actually, it says, do not take bath when it is dark. And do not do parikram when it is dark, generally. Like that. But then on full moons, Govardhan parikram is considered auspicious and like this. Certain times it's allowed, but generally it's considered do not do it. So do not do these things. So it was discouraged to do these things. But Nanda Maharaj, he did it. He took bath when it was still dark. So technically, it may or may not have been inauspicious. It may have been inauspicious generally. In this circumstance, maybe not, but generally. But then some servant of Varuna, he came and he saw someone was taking bath inauspicious time, so he grabbed him and took him to Varuna's court for punishment. You've offended the king. You're taking bath in the holy water at this time. So, too much attached to rules and regulations. Utsaha mai. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says in Madhurya Kalambini, this is one of the anattas which devotees have when they're progressing in Krishna consciousness. What does it mean? Utsaha mai. Yeah, over enthusiastic or like false enthusiasm or shallow enthusiasm, not real enthusiasm. You know, when you join, you get very fanatical about everything. You tell everyone everything. I remember when I first joined, and then another devotee, do you remember Palahari Prabhu? Your good brother, he passed away. Maybe last year, the year before.
Yeah,
so Palahari, you know Palahari? Some of you may know. Yeah, so he joined same time as me. I joined, and then I think he joined 2 weeks later or 1 month later. So we used to argue all the time. Constant argument. You know, we'd get in the van to go to the Harinam on Friday night, and we'd argue the whole way, you know. Because I was the senior devotee, because I joined 1 month before. So I knew everything. So I would tell him, and then he would argue back with me, because he didn't like to be told things. So he would argue with me. I'd say, you know, because he'd get in the van, he'd grab some prasadam, hop in the van, and eat, but then there's nowhere to wash your hands. So I'd get on his case. You can't, now you're contaminated, you can't touch anything. You touch the seat belt, that's contaminated now. So I would do that, and he would argue with me, just be quiet, what do you know? You know, like this, like that. Go back and forth, all the time, arguing over rules and regulations, which wasn't the end of the day. You know, when I joined, I was so fanatical, always chastising all the devotees. You know, walk in the ashram, someone would be taking prasadam or drinking milk and reading the book. I'd say, now you're contaminating the book. You're drinking milk and you're, which means you're contaminated because you're, and you're still reading the book. So I chastised everyone. So very enthusiastic. But just following all the rules and regulations, like too much. So then, this is what's taking place. And this is a natural phenomena, or it's a common occurrence for new devotees. It means, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, puffed up with enthusiasm. Right? We're so enthusiastic, we're proud. I know everything. I am the, you know, I know all the rules and regulations and tell everyone everything like that. So this is Niyamagraha, also Rupa Goswami says, too attached to the rules and regulations, or too loose. That's the opposite. Niyamagraha means you follow everything so strictly, or you go the opposite direction and you neglect things. The things that should be done, you say, no, it's okay. And sometimes we do that. I used to do that as well. I used to be a Sankirtan devotee. So I used to collect money for the temple. This is back before we had congregation. So brahmacharis, we used to collect money to pay for the temple. So then I used to think I'm very special because I collect money to run the temple. So then I could like walk into the kitchen, I come back from being out all day distributing books or collecting Lakshmi and contaminated. And then I come back and walk into the kitchen to get some Mahaprasad, and the devotees say, oh, you can't just walk in, you have to take bath and everything. I say, no, I'm doing so much service for Krishna, it's all right. So then you become proud the other way, and then you neglect the rules and regulations. So both happen. You have to be careful of both. They're both faults. Too strict and too loose, or too unstrict. So here you see that the servant of Varuna, he is failing to understand the essence. And what is the essence? The essence of this pastime is that Nanda Maharaj is Krishna's father. So how are you going to correct Krishna's father? Right. This devotee is the father of God. And then you come up and say to him, you're bathing at the wrong time. Right? He can bathe whenever he wants. Right? It's like one of us chastising or correcting Srila Prabhupada. You go to Prabhupada and say, oh, Prabhupada this or like that. Prabhupada didn't appreciate that. One time, Harikesh Prabhu, one of Prabhupada's disciples, Prabhupada wanted him to go and preach in some particular country, and he was arguing with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada didn't appreciate it. Yeah, he said to Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada said, oh, I want you to go there and go in this particular way or something. And he said to Prabhupada, I might as well walk. And Prabhupada became angry. He said, Prabhupada didn't appreciate that mood. No. So we should not become proud, because then we miss the essence of the entire philosophy. So the essence is that Nanda Maharaj is Krishna's father. If he wants to bathe any time, who are we to judge or to tell? I was in Vrindavan one time in Parikram, Dinabandhu Prabhu. And then one devotee, he was trying to correct a sannyasi. Sannyasi said something. He said, oh, no, Maharaj, that's not correct. He was telling. And Dinabandhu said, you know nothing. You're just a little boy. You don't know anything. And that devotee became shocked because everyone was looking at him. And then he offered obeisances. So if you don't know, don't say anything. Or even if you do know, don't correct the senior person. Any points?
Actually, Harikesh Maharaj was doing a lot of service for Srila Prabhupada. Cooking and helping in the preaching in Europe.
Yeah, he was a great servant. But he used to argue with Prabhupada sometimes. Prabhupada didn't appreciate that. Any other point?
Probably, but the thing is, we are taught from the very beginning that when you eat, You must rinse your mouth and wash your hands before you do anything. So, I mean, so why were you wrong when you were greeting that person?
No, I wasn't wrong, but sometimes it's the way we tell people which is the problem.
Okay.
I wasn't wrong. What I was saying was correct, but it was
because
the way I was
saying. Because it is contaminating, you know?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the children do eat and put their hand on the book and it gets dirty. I don't like all this.
Yeah.
You know?
No, we should follow. We should follow the rules properly.
But the way we tell them. You know?
The way you tell them, and also in Vaishnava etiquette, if someone doesn't accept you as authority, you can't tell them.
Mm-hmm.
Like if someone doesn't accept that you are the authority, you cannot speak to that person. You cannot. You have to go to someone. So I was trying to tell him, but he was saying, "Who are you? You've been devoted the same amount of time as me."
Okay.
And I wasn't telling him properly, so he was rejecting.
Right.
So better I go to someone who he will listen to and ask them to tell.
Right.
You know, sometimes I want to tell something to someone, but I see they're not going to listen to me, so I don't say anything. If I know someone will listen, then I'll tell. I'll say something. Okay. But if they're not going to listen, then I don't tell. I go and ask someone else who can maybe point out to them.
But what do you do in the house it happens?
With a family.
Yeah, with the children.
Yeah, children should listen to the adults.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have to tell my daughter things. She does things. I have to say, hey, you're doing that wrong or you're doing that wrong. You have to tell them all the time, continuously.
So when they go into school and all that, all the children do the same thing.
Different thing, yeah, so it becomes difficult.
And so they do want to do that in the house as well.
This is my problem.
Yeah.
Too much.
This is my problem too.
So any other points? Okay.
The other thing I wanted to know, you know, about the alcohol. Disturb the function of the, you're not the same consciousness when you are not drunk. So it is all right, you know, for people who are addicted. But the normal people shouldn't do that, you know.
Take what?
You know, the normal people, their level of sensitivity is so strong if they take even a very mild sedative. They can't function properly, they feel drowsy. But some people can take heavy dose of the sedatives and still they are awake. So I mean,
yeah, but the point is we shouldn't take intoxication, that's the point.
Yeah.
That's what this pastime represents. O King, not seeing Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men loudly cried out, O Krishna, O Rama. Lord Krishna heard their cries and understood that his father had been captured by Varuna. Therefore, the Almighty Lord, who makes his devotees fearless, went to the court of Varuna Dev. So, Mahatma Prabhu.
Vishnu Prabhu Thakur explains that when Nanda Maharaj went to bathe in the river, he was accompanied by several cowherd men. When none did not come out of the water, they began to cry out, and Lord Krishna immediately came there. Understanding the situation, Sri Krishna entered the water and went to the court of the demigod Varuna, determined to free his father and the other cowherd men from fear of a mere demigod.
Any point there?
How did he go in the water? No.
How did he go in?
Yeah.
He walked in.
In the deep water. His coat must be quite thick.
Yeah.
Be too much.
No, but how can he breathe without oxygen or something? Maybe his body was spiritual.
No, he just went underneath and then the guard came and took him, so.
Yeah, but they might have dragged him into
the... I don't know.
Okay.
A, I don't know, and B, I don't care.
Okay.
Okay. Any other point?
Sometimes the little position which we are given, we become so puffed up, and we try to correct
senior sadhus. Like Varuna's messenger, they had little position and they tried to correct Nanda Maharaj. So they got fucked up by that little position, insignificant, in front of Nanda Maharaj's position.
Were they aware of the fact that it's the Lord's father, or are they, is this a pastime and so?
Well, Varuna knew, whether or not the servants knew, but they should have known because everyone was talking about it. So, yeah. If he's demoniac, then he maybe is thinking something different or strange. Or they should have known what was taking place. So, Vishnu Chakravarti says, where was Krishna at this time? What time of day was it? Sun was coming up. So it was before the sun comes up. So what's Krishna doing before the sun comes up?
Chanting Rasa.
Yeah, right. But Rasa hasn't begun yet. That's next chapter. It begins. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said he's in the forest sleeping on a bed of flowers. But he doesn't mention what he's doing though. But he might be with the gopis at this point in time. But as soon as Nanda Maharaj is taken, his servants begin to call out, Krishna, Krishna, Rama, Rama. So Krishna immediately comes there. So what does this show us?
Prompt action. Prompt
action, yeah.
His first priority is always his devotee.
Love for his father is very intense.
Yeah, that Krishna is never far away from the devotee. So if you call Krishna, Krishna is there immediately. It says that he ran from the forest to the Jamuna to save Nanda Maharaj. So it means he can just pass instantly. As soon as he's called, he can be there. Have you ever had that situation where you called Krishna and he was there immediately? You've had that situation? Yeah. You call Krishna and then he's there immediately. So sometimes it happens. We call out to Krishna, we're in trouble, and then he's just there. You know he's there. He looks after you. So, what's that?
We don't even call and he's there.
No.
We forget to call him, but he is always there.
Who do you call?
When I was very young in my age, that time I was saved in one situation when I did not even call him.
So he is always close by to the devotee. So Sharanagati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there are six principles. Right? And two of the principles, one is that Krishna is my protector, the other one is he is my maintainer. So Krishna always maintains the devotees, always protects the devotees. So when we become surrendered to Krishna, we have the consciousness or the mentality that he will always protect us under all circumstances. So that is called Shraddha. Shraddha means faith. Faith means that no matter what difficult situation we're in, it is Krishna who will protect us. We have that faith. And Krishna is testing. That's why he puts us into difficult situations. If you're ever in a difficult situation, Krishna has put you in that situation. Why? Because he wants to test you and see, will you surrender to him or will you call out to something else? Where do you take shelter? Where does your mind take shelter? Bhurajan Prabhu says this all the time. Where does your mind take shelter? When you're in a difficult situation, where does your mind go? And then you'll see how Krishna conscious you are. So if you have Shraddha or faith, then you will go to Krishna, you'll call out to Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj's servants, they say, Krishna, Krishna, Rama, Rama. And then immediately Krishna was there. But instantly he just appeared. And what is the nature of Nanda Maharaj? He is Abhay. What is Prabhupada's name?
Yes, Abhay.
Abhay, Charanaravinda. Abhay means one who is fearless at the lotus feet of Krishna. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Fearless at Krishna's lotus feet. So every pure devotee is Abhay. Fearless. So Nanda Maharaji was fearless. He took bath. He was taken, but he knew that Krishna would protect him. And all the cowherd men, they knew that Krishna would protect. And we will also become fearless when we know that Krishna will protect us. Just like Prabhupada, he knew that Krishna would facilitate, protect, so he did not have fear. So when you know that Krishna will protect you, you will not have any more fear. You will become a boy. Any points?
Draupadi also, as soon as she called Krishna, before that she was going to so many people.
Thousands of miles he traveled in a moment. Yeah. Any points?
Well, here we see that they say Krishna, Krishna, Rama, Rama, because Krishna is there. And many times we hear that, you know, we should take shelter of the holy name, which is no different. So can you give some practical views on how we can take shelter of the holy name?
What is the question?
So
my question is basically, when these Gopas were saying Krishna, Krishna, Rama, Rama, they were there. Lord Krishna was there in person. And here we are saying that Krishna is in his name, therefore we have to take shelter of the holy name. And most of the time, a lot of devotees actually say, in fact, I've heard Gurjan Prabhu say to as well, he said, take shelter of the holy name. And he's mentioned that, in fact, he mentioned to me once too as well, take shelter of the holy name. So how can we actually take shelter? Any practical views? I mean, of course, we can listen and all that, but if you can put your views.
Yeah, well, in the first canto, in the eighth chapter, what is the eighth chapter called? The first canto. The prayers of Queen Kunti. So there's one famous verse in there where it discusses about chanting the holy name. And then it describes, Prabhupada describes in the purport, there's a quality of chanting. Just because we say Krishna doesn't mean we're chanting with intensity or with surrender or with the mood that Krishna will protect us. We're not calling out to Krishna. Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion that when we chant, it should be like the child crying for the mother. Prabhupada says it should have that kind of intensity. So there's a quality, Prabhupada says in chapter 8, in the purport, in the first canto, he says there should be a quality to the chanting. So anyone can chant, but when there's a quality, and Krishna can hear the intensity in your voice. Just like if Brinda's outside and she calls out, so you know by the tone or by the intensity what the situation is. So, you know, and if it's desperate, you'll be there in one moment. So Krishna is the same. When you know it, when you call him like that, Krishna, then he's there at that moment. He comes. So it's not that chanting is mechanical.
Many times, when we are in trouble, of course the chanting becomes quite intense. But we are talking about quality chanting most of the time. So that's when sort of, I mean, we get tested whether we can do quality chanting or not. Is why I was asking the question, so like, I mean, do we have to do quality chanting at all times, regardless of the situation?
Well, it means that we should relish the chanting, that's the point.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I was thinking.
So we should develop a taste, nama ruchi, develop a taste for chanting. So that comes by chanting. Chanting attentively, putting effort in, getting realizations. So many things that comes. Yeah, when I get up and chant in the morning, then my meditation is to get a taste for chanting. I don't like to chant mechanically. I haven't got a deep level of taste like advanced devotees, but at the same time, I don't want to just chant mechanically either. So I don't get up in the morning just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, I don't get up and chant like that. I chant with some faith because I cultivate the chanting. I haven't got the kind of taste that I want to have, but at the same time, I don't chant mechanically. I don't just chant, you know. And I never chant like, you know, just like sometimes see devotees just walking around. You know, it was like Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, you know. Hare Krishna, oh, you see him sitting out there in the courtyard. You know, I've never chanted for years. I don't think I've chanted around out there in the courtyard. I've never chanted in the courtyard. Courtyard's the worst place to chant. You know, it's people walking everywhere, so much distraction. You know, if I chant, I go and chant in Prabhupada's room or in the temple room. Or if it's hot or something, I'll go and chant, but I'll go and chant like around the corner in a quiet place. Or where we live at the farm, then I chant, you know, in our ashram, you know, in a concentrated way with Giriraj. Or, and, you know, in our house, in the ashram, you have pictures of Krishna everywhere, you know, to remind you to focus. Like that. And even if I'm chanting outside, I try to not just wander and chant, but I always try to make sure I'm listening to the holy name. And chant like, you know, in an undistracted way. You know, so it means you have to cultivate your chanting. Don't chant mechanically, but do it cultivated. And then when it comes to desperate chanting, and when you're really into call Krishna, then that depends on what's in your heart. The Prabhupada says, cultivate the chanting. Develop a quality in your chanting. And he says you should chant like the charcoaling for the mother. And then he also says, the other famous thing he says is that he translates the Maha Mantra in a very simple way. He says, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. So that should be like the inner mood. Like, oh Lord, our energy, please engage me in your service. Like meditating on wanting to serve Krishna. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Any other point?
I remember I tell you my story. About 20 years back, I was in Sydney. I had to drop some grains into the ocean. So I parked my car on the beach and went. And I might have gone 10 or 15 steps. And a very big black dog came. Was like ferocious. So I was nursing day. And as soon as I said that, he just went back. And then I couldn't see him at all. And he was no hurt or anything, he could. So I don't know. So name has such a so much influence. From that day I remember that if there is any danger, call nursing. I never forget that. Because no one there on the beach at that time, early morning. Nobody could save me. He would have torn me into pieces.
Yeah, good pastor. Anything else?
What's the other four of the Sangharati? You said protector and maintainer.
Yeah, if you look in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse number 66, and Prabhupada mentions.
66?
Yeah.
66 is the famous word.
Yeah, so have a look in the purple. So far. Any other points? Okay. Seeing that the Lord Hrishikesh had arrived, the demigod Varuna worshipped him with elaborate offerings. Varuna was in a state of great jubilation upon seeing the Lord, and he spoke as follows. Sri Varuna said, "Now my body has fulfilled its function. Indeed, now the goal of my life is achieved. O Lord, those who accept your lotus feet, O personality of Godhead, can transcend the path of material existence." So, would you like to read the...
Varuna ecstatically exclaims here that since he has now seen the infinite gorgeous body of Lord Krishna, the trouble of assuming a material body has now been supremely justified. Indeed, the artha, the goal or real value of Varuna's life has now been achieved. Because Lord Krishna's form is transcendental, those who accept his lotus feet go beyond the boundary of material existence. And thus, only the spiritually unaware would presume that the Lord's lotus feet are material.
Any points there?
Varuna recognized him and but his servant didn't respect his father. So does that mean his servant had pride?
Yeah, of course.
But Varuna didn't.
Yeah, well, Varuna's acting in the right way. His mentality is correct. Anything else?
So Varuna must be very advanced because Indra couldn't recognize him. But Brahmaji couldn't recognize him. But how could he recognize him so quickly?
They all recognized him, but they had some defect in the vision, whereas Varuna's seeing things more correctly.
He must be very advanced.
Yeah. So, Varuna has attained the goal of life. What is the goal of life?
To see the Lord.
To see the Lord, yeah, face to face. Prabhupada says the goal of Krishna consciousness, you will see Krishna face to face. And Prabhupada says you will take Krishna by the hand and you will lead him. Just like Mother Yashoda. So that is the goal of life. So Varuna has achieved the goal. He's in ecstasy. Krishna himself has just come before him. There's nothing else to achieve. It's called Prayojana. Lord Chaitanya says that is the goal. Prayojana means like the ultimate goal. Krishna Sambandha. Sambandha means
relationship.
So the relationship with Krishna. What is our relationship with Krishna? Bhakti, Abhideya. Abhideya means?
Process.
The process. How to attain Krishna. It is bhakti, what Chaitanya teaches us. Krishna is, the relationship with Krishna is what everything is about. Bhakti is the process to attain Krishna. And the goal of life is prema. Prema bhakti. Which means you have to love Krishna. You can only see Krishna when you love him. We can't see Krishna. We don't have love for Krishna. When you have love, you will see him. Premanjanach Chuita Bhakti Valochanena means within the heart, Krishna will be visible. Just like you think of someone you know who's dear to you, and immediately you can see them inside your heart. Why? Because you love them. And when you have prema or love, then you will see the person. So you will see Krishna face to face. So Varuna sees him directly because he is exalted enough to see Krishna. He has enough bhakti. Not to the level of the bridge buses, but still. So this is the goal. So the Bhagavatam is teaching us what is the goal of life, to see Krishna directly. And Varuna sees Krishna and he deals with Krishna appropriately. Any points?
I have one question here. So Varuna is seeing Krishna with prema level, because even Duryodhana and Karna, they also had seen Krishna. And even Karna personally knows Krishna, the Supreme Lord. And he foolishly did not accept his instructions. What does that mean? What kind of a level are there? Because they were not liberated or anything, that's what I mean.
Yeah, because when people come to see the deity in the temple, if they don't understand the deity is non different from Krishna, they just see stone.
Because of the
vision. So when we see the deity, we see the deity has life. Like when we see the deity, we see Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, everyone, Radha Balabha, Jagannath Balabha. So there's life there because we have bhakti. You know, someone who doesn't have bhakti, they see the deity, but they just see statues, material energy. We see spiritual energy. But when you're pure, then you see Krishna in the original form, spiritual form.
I had a feeling about this. I don't know whether it's right or wrong amount of time. Yesterday afternoon I went to Prabhupada's room and I was chanting. The sun was glaring at Prabhupada and I felt like he's hot. I had to switch on the fan. I don't know why. I was seriously chanting. In between I got this thought.
Yeah, because you have to understand that Prabhupada is non-different from his Murti. And the deity is non-different from Krishna. Lord Chaitanya says, you have to understand that the deity is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Right? And even there's one Mataji, Prabhupada disciple, I think. I think it was Prabhupada disciple, maybe not, but one devotee, not long ago. Can't remember which country it was, but she would dress Prabhupada in the morning in the temple. You know, devotees go and dress. So she dressed Prabhupada in the morning. So it was, she lived in a cold place, maybe in Europe or somewhere, it was cold. So she used to iron Prabhupada's cloth just before she would dress him, so the cloth was still a little bit warm. And then she'd dress, and so Prabhupada, when he put the cloth on, it was a little bit warm, keeping warm. And then the pujari, not her, but another devotee in the temple, had the dream, and Prabhupada said to him in the dream, he said, say thank you to her, that when she puts a cloth on, it is warm. And he didn't know that she was doing that. So he went to her, and then he said, Prabhupada said in the dream, thank you, because you are doing. And then she was crying, because Prabhupada reciprocated. So Prabhupada is there. So it's not a statue, it is Prabhupada. It's called Atmavan Seva. What does Atmavan mean? You know that saying in Sanskrit, Atmavan Manyate Jagat. What is it? Yeah, Atmavan. Atmavan means me. Atmavan Manyate Jagat. If I see it like that, then everyone must see it like that. Jagat means the whole universe. Everyone sees it like that because I see it like that. So when you are worshipping the deity or Prabhupada's murti, you have to have the mentality that if I am cold, Krishna is cold. If I am hot, Krishna is hot. The deity is hot, Prabhupada is hot. So you have to serve in that mentality.
If Krishna is hungry, I am hungry.
Yeah, Krishna is hungry. If I am hungry, then Krishna must be hungry. Because sometimes, you know, we stay in an air-conditioned room, but then the room the deities are in is hot. So we all have the good stuff. Or, you know, like the example that's given, Prabhupada would explain that for lunch you have Raj Bhog, but you didn't give the deity just some sultanas. Many people worship like that. In the morning, you know, they wake up in the morning, they offer the deity some bhoga, sultanas, a few things, but then you go and have milk and croissant and avocado and all those things. But the deity, you just give something simple. So if whatever you have, the deity should also take. So you should have that mentality that if I'm cold, then Krishna is also cold. That's called Atmavan Seva. That's how you worship the deity. Your father who is sitting here has brought to me a foolish, ignorant servant of mine who do not understand his proper duty. Therefore, please forgive us. Chaitanya Lila.
Clearly indicates that Krishna's father, Nanda Maharaj, was present as Varuna was speaking. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur states that Varuna had seated Sri Nanda on a jeweled throne and had personally worshipped him out of respect. Technically, Nanda Maharaj was correct in entering the water just before sunrise. The following explanation is given by Srila Jiva Goswami in his commentary on the first verse of the chapter. After an especially short ekadasi, measuring only 18 hours, about 6 hours of the lunar day in which the fast had to be broken, namely the Dwadasi, had already expired before the dawn. Since at sunrise the proper time for breaking the fast would have passed, Nanda Maharaj decided to enter the water at one otherwise inauspicious time. Of course, Varuna's servants should have been aware of these technical details, which are meant for the strict followers of the Vedic rituals. Above and beyond that, Nanda Maharaj was acting as the Supreme Lord's Father and was therefore a most sacred person beyond the touch of insignificant cosmic bureaucrats like the foolish servant of Varuna.
Yeah. Any points there?
Nanda Maharaj was a right king. entering the water just before sunrise.
Anything else? Did I read text 6? I did. Did we miss it?
Yeah, you missed one.
Yeah, I think we missed one. Why didn't you say anything? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
I read it and it was
I thought I was wrong.
Yeah, if you don't notice, then it means you're just spaced out. But if you notice you don't say anything, then that's you're not doing good service. You should have said something. I did that. My Guru Maharaj was there one time, and something happened. He looked at me and said, "Why didn't you tell me?" I was reading the wrong verse. I said, "Why didn't you tell me?" So if I'm not reading the right verse, you should say something. Otherwise, we're all spaced out. I'm allowed to be spaced out. I'm fasting today. Hands up if anyone's fasting today. So you've got no excuse, have you? Usually I fast on Monday. But I couldn't fast yesterday because it's my Guru Maharaj's disappearance, so I fasted today instead. I fast on Monday because if you fast on Monday, then Lord Shiva gives you a good wife. So I fast on Monday. That is my motivation.
But you already have a good wife.
I want more.
Same wife.
What's that?
Well, more from the same wife, that's what you want to say.
Yeah, if she was here, I would say that.
I heard that you should worship Vashiva as a pure Vashiva, not to have mundane desire with this.
So let's get back to the Bhagavatam.
That's
okay. My obeisance is unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Soul, within whom there is no trace of the illusory energy which orchestrates the creation of this world. Your Father, who is sitting here, was brought to me by a foolish, ignorant servant of mine who did not understand his proper duty. Therefore, please forgive us. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Varuna sees him in this way, that he is the Supreme Lord. So his vision is correct. And we see here that because Varuna has the right attitude, you see in the previous chapter, on the previous pastime, then Indra's attitude was not correct. So he did not deal properly. But Varuna is exactly the opposite. Varuna, as soon as the servant makes a mistake, he apologizes to Krishna. He worships Krishna. He's in great jubilation. So he understands Krishna's supreme position. And because he understands Krishna's supreme position and he has the right attitude, Krishna comes and gives him darshan. He allows his father to be taken, and then he goes and then he gives darshan to Varuna. So Varuna is not on the level of being a bridge basi. He doesn't have that kind of bhakti, but still, his mood of surrender is correct. He has devotion to Krishna. So because of his devotion, Krishna himself came to him. So Prabhupada's guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, said, "Don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna will reveal himself to you." So we can't see Krishna, but if you act properly, Krishna will come to you. Prabhupada would say, you take one step, Krishna takes 10 steps. So if we act properly, Krishna. And then one time Prabhupada said, "Don't try to see Krishna in the bushes of Vrindavan. See Krishna in the order of the spiritual master." So how will you see Krishna? One day we want to see Krishna. If you execute perfectly the order of the spiritual master, then one day you will see Krishna. Krishna himself will come to you. But you have to have the right attitude. So Varuna had the right attitude, Krishna came all the way to Varuna's abode just to see Varuna directly.
Actually, he saw his father as well. As the father of Lord Krishna, because he's made him sit on a jewel throne.
Yeah.
He respected him before Lord Krishna came.
Yeah. We'll speak about that next. Okay, so. O Krishna, O seer of everything, please give me your mercy. Please give your mercy even to me. O Govinda, you are most affectionate to your father. Please take him home. Sukadev Goswami said, thus satisfied by Lord Varuna, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of Lords, took his father and returned home, where their relatives were overjoyed to see them. Rohini, you want to read that?
In this pastime, Lord Krishna gives a sublime demonstration of his position as the Supreme Lord of all worlds. Varuna, the demigod of the seas, is most powerful, yet he is happy to worship even Lord Krishna's father. What to speak of Krishna himself?
Any point there?
All the relatives and all the associates of Lord Krishna is worshipping.
Yeah, good. Anything else?
When there's proper devotion in your heart, there's no room for pride.
Yeah, good. Anything else?
If you have a devotion, Lord Krishna gives you the wisdom to recognize him.
Yeah, so Krishna says, one who says he is the devotee of my devotee, that was wrong. Krishna says, one who says he is my devotee, he is not my devotee. But one who says he is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So Varuna was worshipping and understanding the position of Nanda Maharaj. And because he understood his position and he worshipped him, he received Krishna's mercy. So that is the position of the devotees. The devotees are more dear to Krishna than Krishna's own self. So Krishna prefers. And yesterday was my Guru Maharaj's disappearance day. So devotees were remembering him, speaking about him. And one quality which the devotees continued to mention was that while they were serving him, he was always more concerned that his god brothers and god sisters were being looked after more than him. And many times when I was with him, he was like that. And several times, like, you know, because he's our guru, his god brother or god sister is there. So, you know, we would go and open the door for him of the car. I mean, it's a couple of times I was there. He said, go and open the door for them. He was more interested they were being served than himself. And I remember one time, some non-devotees, they came to have breakfast with him. Some like film producer, and they had to come and speak to him. So we were there, you know, we're new devotees, I was a new devotee, so, you know, and I thought I was doing the right thing. So I came in and he's sitting, my Guru Maharaj is sitting there and a couple of people sitting there, some non-devotees. So, you know, I think, oh, my Guru Maharaj, so I go and start serving my Guru Maharaj, give him everything first, look at. He said, don't worry about me. He said, serve them, the guest. Go and serve the guest first, right? And then serve me. So Krishna is like that, right? Serve the devotees. Then Krishna is more satisfied. The last time I saw my Guru Maharaj, I was having breakfast with him. He asked me to come and take prasadam with him. So he had a table, he had a chair, and I was sitting at the other end of the chair, and I felt uncomfortable. I never sat down with my guru and take prasad. But because I was a guest, because he was living in England, I traveled from Australia. So my god brothers, who were his servants, they were serving. He said, you sit down, you take prasad. So I sat. And then when my god brothers came out of the kitchen with the prasadam, they understood, because he'd already told them, they had to serve me first. So imagine how I feel. I'm sitting there with my guru, same level, same table, same chairs, and I'm getting first. So how am I supposed to feel? And then they served him, and I wouldn't eat, obviously, until he started eating. Yeah, in Oxford. So that was the mood of service. So instead of putting yourself first, always see the other person. And that's what devotional service means. So to be a good devotee, means that you have to always put the others first. So Krishna is like that. Krishna is a person. He's the supreme person. He's the best person, Purushottama. So he wasn't so worried about himself. But when he saw Varuna as offering respect to Nanda Maharaj, then he gave blessings to Nanda Maharaj, to Varuna. So that is the system. Any points?
Mahaprabhu is serving most of the time to Shada to go the devotee.
Yeah. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
Okay, so next week, no class. Next month.